Today's shiur is going to discuss a topic which is very relevant in our times, and even more relevant than we may realize, and that is the topic of tattoos, and specific applications, specific situations of tattoos that have come up in the modern world, which people may not realize could possibly violate this issur. So along the way, I would like to discuss all the issues pertaining to tattoos, what is considered a tattoo that is asur min ha-Torah, asur mid-Rabbanan, whether it's true or not that a person with a tattoo cannot be buried in a Jewish cemetery, whether or not a person who has a tattoo must remove it. Hopefully we'll get to all of these points, there's Hashem. So we start off here, the sheet, we have the pasuk in yesterday's parsha. The Torah tells us, v'seret l'nefesh, v'ositnu b'psarchem. The Torah says that a person should not make scratchings on his skin. That iser has absolutely nothing to do with our topic. That's in general for mourning. But here, the second half of the pasuk, k'soves kaka, v'ositnu b'chem. You should not put k'soves kaka. The word kaka is a very, very unusual word. It appears only one time in Tanakh. And that is right here. Okay, so it's hard to know exactly what it means, but we'll take the standard interpretation is ksoves kaka means writing incisions. The word kaka means incisions. Lo sitnu b'chem, you should not put in you ani Hashem. What does this mean? So Rashi says on the bottom, if you could read it, I'm not sure I can, but Rashi says that the second line, he says, Soves kaka, Rashi says, ksav hamechuka v'shakua, that this refers to a writing which is deeply inserted into the skin, right? In other words, it's not on the surface of the skin, but it's shakua, it's deeply into the skin. She'eino nimchach l'olam, that it will never be able to be erased. Okay, now we're going to just take note of those words that Rashi says, because we'll see whether or not that's to be taken literally, but Rashi is interpreting the pasuk to mean that the prohibition here is to put a writing on a body that cannot be erased ever. Okay, and so forth. Rashi says in the next Rashi that it was inserted with a needle and so forth. We'll soon see. Okay, so therefore the Torah says that writing that involves an incision in the body, and that's what causes the writing to last, okay, and that writing is going to be permanent, so the Torah says you should not do such a thing, ani Hashem. Okay, now why should this be? What would be the reason for this prohibition? So the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam both say that the iser of tattoos has to do with Avodah Zarah. In fact, this halacha is found in the Rambam in the laws of Avodah Zarah. And the Sefer HaChinuch, if you turn over the page, well, actually, we'll go to the Rambam. I'm sorry, we'll stay on the same side of the page. The Rambam says the following. The Rambam in the 12th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah says, "Ksoves kaka ha'amura b'Torah," that when the Torah speaks about this type of writing, hu she yisharet al b'saro, that a person should scratch their skin, v'yamale makom hasrita, and they should fill in the scratching with kochel o dio, with some sort of dye or some sort of coloring, o shar tzivonim, or any other type of coloring, haroshmim, that makes an impression. So says the Rambam, v'zeh hoya minag ha-goyim, that this was the custom of the goyim, sherosh min atzmon la'avodah zarah shelahem, that they used to, as a sign of loyalty, as a pledge of loyalty to their avodah zarah, so they would write, you know, the name of their avodah zarah, and they would inscribe it in their bodies in such a way that it could not be erased, as a show of loyalty. So this was where it started. The purpose of the person who did it was he's trying to show that I am completely loyal and given over to this Avodah Zarah, and whatever the Avodah Zarah asks me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so that is the basic idea for why the Torah prohibited this. Now, can a person say that, well, all right, that doesn't pretty much today, you know, most tattoos are not that way. So whether or not this matters, according to most people, the fact that today it's not a Avodah Zarah base doesn't really matter. Okay, but this was the origin of it, says the Rambam. Okay, now, he continues and says, if he says, "Umeis sheyirshom de'echad me'advarim haroshmin," right? Anytime a person does such a thing, "Acha sheyisrot be'ez ha'mokom min ha'guf," any person who does this type of thing, so bein ish bein isha loke, it makes no difference whether it's a man or a woman. In other words, the prohibition of tattoos is just as much on a woman as it is on a man. The point the Torah doesn't distinguish in this pasuk, it just says you shouldn't do it. It doesn't say who shouldn't do it. It doesn't say men shouldn't do it. So therefore, it's understood that this applies to both men and women. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
It's 5 points. I just realized that there's a popular basketball player that's on Parrot Magazine.
Yeah.
And he was wearing long sleeves. I just realized why he...
Okay, could be. I don't know why you think he's trying to cover it up. I'm not so sure that it's considered embarrassing. I think they consider it honorable. But anyway, we'll see. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that the Rambam says that this would be also both for men and for women. But we have to understand, what does it mean? What is the Torah referring to? The Torah is referring to scratching out the skin and inserting the coloring in such a way that it goes under the skin, and then the skin will regrow on top of it, and thereby it'll remain permanent. In other words, obviously, if a person would take a pen or a marker and write or paint and write on their skin, so that would come out eventually over time. That would come out. But the idea of a tattoo is that it's inserted underneath. It's inserted deeply under the skin, under the top layer of skin. And thereby, it doesn't wash out. In other words, once the skin grows back over it, so then it's permanent. So this is what the Rambam says. This is what the Torah is referring to. And the Rambam says further, "Kosav v'lo rasham b'tseva, o sherasham b'tseva v'lo kosav b'srita potter." In order to violate the Torah law, you need both of these elements. You need the fact that it was the incision and the coloring. If you had one without the other, so then it's hard to know exactly what that means. Usser midrabbanan. We'll see about that. Okay, and then at the very end, the Rambam writes a very interesting thing. The Rambam writes, "Upon who is the prohibition of a tattoo?" So you'll say, "Well, the person who has the tattoo," but maybe not. Maybe it goes on the artist who makes the tattoo. So in fact, the Rambam says, Bamedvar Mamurim, the last three lines, Bekosev, right, that this prohibition to violate the Torah law, that's only if a person goes ahead and does the writing. Avozesha Kosvo Bipsoro Vikakeabo, however, if a person had a tattoo put on them, so says the Rambam, Eino Chayev, that would not be a violation of a Torah law. Ella Imsayeya Kadeshiasa Maisa, unless the person cooperated. In other words, if the person made it possible, somehow it's hard to know exactly what that means also. But in other words, if the person somehow cooperated and was involved in the process, so then it would be prohibited by the Torah for the person who receives the tattoo. But the primary iser, midaraisa, is to give the tattoo. So therefore, this is a chiddush that the people, you know, don't consider. Everyone knows the Torah says that, not everyone, but it's fairly known that the Torah prohibits tattoos. And we always think that sometimes you see a person who has a tattoo, you say, oh my gosh, but the truth of the matter is, the one who made it is the one who violated the Torah law. The recipient would be guilty of a issa d'rabbana. In other words, doesn't mean it's mutter, but that would not be a violation of the Torah law. Person would not have received malchus unless they somehow cooperated and made it easier for the person doing it, for the artist to put it in. Yes?
Someone pays someone to do it. Are they kind of making the other person a shaliach?
Okay, probably not. It's also ein shlichus d'var avera. I would imagine that that's probably not a case of shlichus, and especially if there's a guy doing it, so there's no shlichus by a guy, generally speaking. So, this is what he says. Now, I don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean to suggest that therefore it's mutter for a person to have a tattoo put on, because the reality is that the Rambam is just discussing the law of violating midaraisa. In other words, min haTorah. So this is an act which, if done, would bring with it the punishment of malchus. This would be equivalent to eating pig or non-kosher food, a lav sheyesh bo maisa. So the Rambam is saying that that's to violate the law on the Torah level would be the artist who puts on the tattoo. The person who received the tattoo, assuming the person just lied there, or let's even say the person was unconscious when they did it, they have some sort of anesthetic or something like that, so then in that situation, it's asur midrabbanan, it's not mutter. But it would not be a violation of the Torah law, so says the Rambam. Okay, now, where does this come from? Yeah.
Jewish prohibition? Goyim can have tattoos?
Goyim could have tattoos, yes. Goyim could have tattoos. Only a violation of, even though you'll say what it has to do with Avodah Zarah.
I feel better about society.
Goyim could have tattoos. In today's world, obviously, we all know that it's become very popular. I can't really understand why, but the fact is that it is what it is. So we have to know this. Now, the source for all of these laws is one Gemara. One short piece of Gemara, Maseches Machis, on Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph, we have here on the bottom of the page as follows. The Mishnah says, HaKosev Ksoves Kaka, a person who inscribes what will translate as a tattoo. So Kosa Velo Kakea, if it was done with the writing but without the incision, or Kakea Velo Kosa, or the incision was made without the writing, Eino Chayev Atche Ichto V'Yekakea B'Yodo B'Dio, excuse me, it's a misprint, B'Dio U'B'Kho. The Chiyev only takes place if it was done with an incision. Okay, we'll see at the end what happens if it's over the skin. But if it's done under the skin, that's what the word kakea means. Kaka, kufain, kufain, a very strange word, means under an incision under the skin, and it has to be done with some sort of dye. Uvechol davar shehu roshim, anything that makes an impression. That is the opinion of the rabbis. However, the Mishnah proceeds to cite a dissenting opinion, and it says, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda mishum Rav Shimon Omer. Okay, Eino Chayiv ad sheyichtov shem ad sheyichtov shames Hashem. Reb Shimon says that the Torah prohibition of having a tattoo only applies if the tattoo had the name of an avodah zarah. Okay, in other words, if a person wrote whatever else, then according to Reb Shimon, this would not be a problem on a Torah level. According to Reb Shimon, it's only a problem, like we said before, the Rambam said that the basis for this Isser was because of the fact that originally people were doing it for Avodah Zarah. So the Reb Shimon says that it's only if it's done that way. How do you know? Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Uksoves kaka lo sitnu bochem, and the last two words in the Pasuk, Ani Hashem. Right, so what are the words Ani Hashem doing in that? I am God. What does that have to do with anything? Why is that? Where does that come to this Pasuk? So the answer is, according to Reb Shimon, because that's the whole point. Ani Hashem. Hashem says that I'm the boss, not the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the Avodah Zarah is what I don't want. Uksoves kakav of Sidna Mechem, if it's going to contain the names of Avodah Zarah. Okay, now, what needs it? Yes, go ahead.
Just a quick question. Is there, when we use the word Sibor, sub, does that only relate in general to writing letters?
Oh, very good question. I was just about to say that. So this is a very good question that has to be addressed. In other words, if you read this Mishnah literally, and in fact, if you read the Pasuk, so one would think that, and perhaps it's so, that the tattoo has to consist of letters. What happens if it's a tattoo of a picture? Right? Is that included? So we'll have to see. And what we really will have to see is what happens if it's a tattoo, if it's a permanent type of thing that's just a color. That's just the color. Like, for example, I don't want to jump ahead, but we'll see that in the medical world today, sometimes when a person has a scar, an ugly scar, and they want to get rid of it, so the way to get rid of it is that they have a procedure where they inject some sort of skin pigment into that area, and it develops the color of natural skin, and thereby it removes the scar, it covers over the scar. But essentially what has happened is that you put coloring under the skin in that place. So does that constitute a tattoo by the Torah standard? Now, if the definition of a tattoo is that it has to be under the skin, it has to be in such a way that it's an incision that's going to remain, okay, so there you would have it. On the other hand, this is the big question. The big question is, does it have to be letters? Could it be a picture? Or is it even just a color? So this all was soon going to be discussed. But anyway, at this point, so in the Mishnah has a machlokas. According to the first opinion, a tattoo, the Torah prohibition, is with any writing, whatever constitutes writing. According to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says it has to be writing with the name of an avodah zarah. Now, as a person put, like you see these chevra today, they'll put the name of their basketball team, the name of their girlfriend on the tattoo. That, according to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, that would not be a problem. But if the person put the name of avodah zarah, that would be, according to Reb Shimon, the only problem. Whereas according to the Tanna Kamma, if a person put the name of, you know, Miami Heat or whatever on his arm, so that would be a problem according to the Tanna Kamma for sure, because that's letters, which everybody would agree, that's letters and that's permanent. Yes, yeah.
Let's say it's Hashem's name, it sounds like it's permissible according to both.
If it's Hashem's name, so that's a different question, whether you could do such a thing in general, whether a person can make such a tattoo. People, I've seen it. And I even once saw it on a non-Jew, which is really amazing. So that's a question. That's a question for other reasons. That's a question also, the person goes into the bathroom, or, you know, so, well, all right. So we'll see. Comes along the Gemara. Now, it's on. Now, if we just had the Mishnah, so the general rule of thumb is that when there's a machlokas, so usually we follow the majority opinion, which you would therefore conclude from the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Yehuda's opinion is not the halacha. The halacha would be like the first opinion. However, it's not so clear, because the Gemara right away starts to probe into Rav Shimon's opinion. And usually an opinion that's not held to be the authoritative opinion doesn't attract that much attention. So the Gemara here right away says, Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Ravel Rav Ashi Ad Yichtov Ani Hashem Mamish. He said, what does this mean? This means that he interpreted what Rav Shimon said, that you have to write the words Ani Hashem in order for it to be a problem. So he said, no, Amalei Lo Kedetani Bar Kapara Eino Chayev Ad Sheyichtov Shem Avodas Kochav. Okay, so the reason I'm reading this is because the Gemara pursues the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, which might give the impression that they took it seriously, that might be the halacha. Okay, so now this is the one and only place that we have a discussion of tattoos in the Shas in terms of the Isser in the Torah. Okay, now, if we skip a few lines, okay, to the last four lines on the page, The Gemara says the following. Excuse me, not a few. If you go down two lines past where we just were, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Malki, Amar Rav Acha Bar Ava. Now this is going to be very important. The Gemara says, Asur lo la'adam sheyitein efer makle al gabe makoso. Okay, apparently it used to be the practice that if a person had a wound, so they would take ashes, burnt ashes from wood that sat in an oven, and they would put the ashes on the wound, and somehow that would make things better.
Cauterize.
I don't know.
Cauterize.
Scientifically.
Cauterize.
Oh, cauterize.
Cauterize.
Okay. That's what used to be done, that they would put the ashes on the, they would put the ashes on the wound. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do this. Why not allowed to do this? What's the problem? So the explanation is, Rashi says, not on the page, but Rashi says, because very often these ashes would leave an imprint, because they were black. They were black from being burnt in the oven. So a person has a wound, which means that his skin is exposed, it's below the skin level, and now he's putting on this Efer Makle, he's putting on these ashes, and it has some medicinal purpose, some value, but the result of this is going to be that some of the color of the ashes is going to remain on his body. Says the Gemara that this would be prohibited. Why? Mipnei sheniris kiksovis kaka. Says the Gemara, because it appears like a tattoo. In other words, it's not mamish a tattoo, but it appears that way. In other words, a person who would look at it would say, oh, what's going on over here? This guy has this coloring under his skin. It appears like a tattoo. So says the Gemara. Now, we'll skip a few lines to the very end. And the Gemara in the end, the very last line, Ravashi. So the Gemara discussed whether or not this was the case. And the Gemara at the end says, Ravashi Omar, kol mokom sheyesha maka, makosom ochiachalot. The Gemara said, Ravashi said, it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because since there's a wound, so presumably you'd be able to tell even afterwards that there had been a wound there. In other words, it wouldn't heal perfectly. So, makosom ochiachalot. So a person would look at it and be able to determine and be able to see this was from a wound. This wasn't a tattoo. This was a wound. And therefore, in Ravashi's opinion, that's not a problem. Now, just to digest this, what did we just say? So, from the Mishnah was discussing the prohibition on the Torah level. So we had a machlokus in the Mishnah, whether any writing, or it has to be dafka, the name of Avodah Zarah. That's what's said in the Mishnah. But the Gemara has now introduced a new level, which is something that appears like a tattoo. In other words, it's not mamish a tattoo, but it appears that way. And apparently that, the Gemara says, would be awesome to the Rabbanah. In other words, anything that is the Marasayan, anything, any prohibition that, because it looks like you're doing something wrong, is awesome to the Rabbanah. It's not awesome to Minat Torah. Okay, but apparently what's being introduced over here is that there is a level that would be considered prohibited to the Rabbanah. The Gemara happens to say that it would not be applicable to putting ashes on a wound because that doesn't even appear like a tattoo because everybody who would look at it would understand, no, that wasn't the intention at all. The person who put the ashes there put it there because the ashes are going to, somehow contribute to the refuah, and the fact that there's some discoloration, that's just incidental. But what could be derived from this Gemara are two things. Number one, that there is a prohibition midrabanan on some level of something that appears like a tattoo. And number two, which we'll discuss, that it would come out from this, that even if it wasn't writing letters, and even if it wasn't drawing a picture, because the fellow who put the ashes on his arm, what's going to remain? What's going to remain is just discoloration. It's nothing else. It's just going to be the black coloring from the ashes. But apparently, that in itself would be an issue, which gives us some insight, possibly, into this area, the question that we had before, of what constitutes writing. Okay, so there we have, this is the Gemara in Maseches Makos, this is the entire discussion of the Isser and the Torah. Now, there happens to be, there's one other Gemara, which is relevant, which unfortunately not on the sheet, and that is the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, which is talking about the laws of get that's being transferred from the husband to the wife. So the Gemara discusses all kinds of situations that could come up. And we have to realize that in the olden times, paper was not nearly as available as it is today. It, in some cases, it was very rare. And therefore, in the second parak of Maseches Gittin, there are lengthy discussions about getting written on other things, getting written on plants, getting written on animal skin, all kinds of situations, getting written on the bark of a tree, all kinds of situations. So the Gemara discusses a case that what happens if a man has an Eved Kenani, if a man has a slave, a servant that he owns, okay, a non-Jewish servant, and a get was written on the hand of this Eved. And now the Eved was transferred from the husband to the wife. So is that good or not? What, the exact Shaila is technical, but it's not relevant to us. But that's the question that comes up. Sounds outrageous to us, but that's because today paper is plentiful. So, but in the world where paper was scarce, so therefore you had to, especially, before they had even the manufacturing ability to make paper like we have today, so it wasn't so easy. You had to get parchment or whatever it was expensive. So the Gemara discusses this case. So Tosfos on the spot asks, he said, what's going on over here? But you wrote a get on Eved's hand, so there's a halacha that a get cannot be written in such a way that it'll be easily erasable. If it's easily, in other words, if you wrote a get in pencil, it wouldn't be good. If get was written in disappearing ink, it wouldn't be valid, because it has to be ksav she'eni yochel l'zdayek, it has to be ink that has a certain permanence to it that cannot be tampered with. So Tulsus wants to know, how exactly did you do this on the hand of an Evet? In other words, it wouldn't be good enough just take a pen and write it on his hand. So the Gemara asks this question, and the Gemara says that we're talking about Ksoves Kaka. The Gemara says that we're speaking over here that the get was tattooed onto the Evet's hand. That's amazing. Right? So Tulsus on the spot asks, he said, what kind of thing is that? But you're not allowed to do that. So what are we discussing here? We're discussing what happens if a person did an Avera and went ahead and did this. So Tulsus says that, in fact, the prohibition minat Torah is only if it's under the skin. It's only if it's under the skin, tattooed under the skin. He says, and according to Reb Shimon, it would only be prohibited if it was the name of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we will assume that that's not what happened over here. In other words, that when the Gemara says it was tattooed on the Evet, it doesn't mean it was tattooed the same way we would tattoo it with an incision, but rather it was written some level of permanence on the surface of the Evet's hand. But Tulsus proceeds to say, this is on Daf Chaf in Gittin, Daf Chaf Amid Beis. Tulsus says, "Umiu isura de rabbanan ikka hacha." Tulsus says, however, that's not to say that this the person who did this was a tzaddik, because even this, even if it was on the surface, would be prohibited in the rabbanan. How do we know? Says Tulsus, because of the Gemara that we just read, because it's just similar to the person who puts the ashes on the wound. In other words, the ashes on the wound, which is not really letters and it's not anything, but nevertheless, it's a problem because it appears. It has the appearance of a tattoo. So says Tulsus that you see that there is such a concept that something that appears like a tattoo, meaning that it's written in a permanent way, that it's not going to come off, even if it does not qualify because of the fact that it was not done with an incision, would still be an issue. These are the sources that we have in the Shas, and that's it. There is no other discussion anywhere, to my knowledge. Yes.
A few minutes ago, we learned the prohibition wasn't on receiving the tattoo, but the one writing the tattoo. Here, the person's writing the get, and that even adds more to the problem.
Okay, he's writing it, right? But the problem is that it has to qualify. In other words, the key point is that it has to qualify as a tattoo. The Torah is very specific. The Torah says it has to be writing with an incision. Okay, which is what the way we understand. There had to be an incision under the skin and with writing, and that's what we would call a tattoo. Okay, so if it was written over the skin, but in a permanent way, in other words, in order for it to be considered a valid get, it had to be written with ink that could not be tampered with.
I'm just adding that as another factor to the scale that weighs it down.
Fine.
In another direction.
Okay, could be. We'll see. We'll soon see. Okay, so now, well, if you turn over the page here, so the Minchas Chinuch gets into the discussion of what type of writing constitutes a tattoo. So if you look in the left-hand column, in the Minchas Chinuch, the center of the page in the regular print is the Sefer HaChinuch. In the Rashi print that's completely surrounding it is a commentary that was written in the early 1800s by an exceptionally brilliant person who, it's called Minchas Chinuch, became world famous almost instantly from the time that he wrote it, and to this day it's a very beloved sefer, has tremendous analysis of halacha on all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So he has, if you look in the left-hand column where the letter He is in brackets, okay, towards the top on the left-hand column, so he says, V'ayin b'sefer yad haktana, okay, we'll skip the parentheses, shekosov da'afla rambam, ein tzorech tmunus osios, right, that the sefer yad haktana wanted to say that according to the Rambam, you don't actually have to have letters in order for it to be considered a problem. He says, Mikol makom tzarech lios ezer roshim. However, it has to be some sort of impression. V'chein kosev b'sefer mishnas chacham sham tzarech lios os sholem o roshim sholem. It has to be either a letter, one letter at least, or some sort of impression, which sounds like it means like some sort of image. But if it's less than that, which I guess means if it's just discoloration or coloring, so then right? See, he wants to say that it would be aser midrabbanan. Okay, so for Rav Ashi, and that's why Rav Ashi said by the case of Ephraim Makla, that by the case of the the ashes on the wound, which leaves an impression. So Rav Ashi said it's okay because of the fact that everybody knows that it's from a wound. Now, if it was biblically prohibited, that wouldn't be a good enough justification. It doesn't matter what people think. If it's usur, it's usur, right? So clearly that Rav Ashi was talking about that it's usur midrabbanan, and therefore he wants to say that even if it's not letters, and even if it's not a roshim, which is unclear, not completely clear what that means, so that would be asim in atar, but less than that would be asim in rabbanan. And then he concludes by saying, "V'tzarchin bedinim elu." So says the Minchas Chinuch that all these laws are very unclear to say dehem isurei Torah, because you're dealing here with the Torah prohibition. So to go ahead and start saying all kinds of kulas, lagavev kulas bezeh, right? But Malcolm Sharishonim Sussman, he said we don't find so much written about this. We don't find so much written about this, so it's hard to say, to just say, it doesn't apply here, it doesn't apply there. How do you know? You're dealing with a possible issur d'oraisa. Okay, so I'm just finishing through the sources, and then we'll get to the lamaisa cases. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch in this topic, which is not on the sheep, but the Shulchan Aruch is very, very brief when it speaks about tattoos. There's only two sifim in the Shulchan Aruch, three. To see if I'm very short, so I'll read it to you here in Siman Kuf Pei in Yeridea. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ksoves kaka hainu shesorei dal psoro," that he makes an incision and he fills it in with some sort of ink or dye or whatever it may be. Okay, and then the Shulchan, that would be what the Torah meant. And then he says, "Whoever does this, im osa kein al psar chavero, a person who makes a tattoo on his friend's skin, he is the one who violates the Torah law, and the one who had it made on his skin is potter. He was not guilty of a Torah prohibition, but it would be asur midrabbanan unless he helped out." And that's pretty much it. That's the whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. So where does this leave us? So here's where it comes up in our times. In other words, what would emerge from this is that the basic tattoo, the famous tattoo, the type of tattoo that's so popular today, which involves an incision in the skin and coloring that remains permanent. So that is what if it's with letters, for sure, that is would be a violation of the Torah law, right? If without letters, so it really, if you look through the poskim, it depends who you ask. Most people are on the impression, like the Minchas Chinuch said, that it doesn't have to be dafka letters, but it does have to be some image. In other words, let's say you had a picture, okay, which is very common, that people have tattoos with images. So according to most people, that would also be a violation of the Torah law. There are those who say not. There are those who say that it has to be dafka letters, okay? But the majority opinion is not that way. But what I would like to discuss would be what happens if it is what happens if it's just coloring. And this has come up very much recently in several areas, but the most prominently is a new cosmetic innovation. It's not so new anymore. It's been going on for a number of years, which is called permanent makeup. Permanent makeup means that the women who don't want it, it's a nuisance to every day, have to apply makeup, and therefore they have a way to do today that they do it specifically with eyebrows and with the lips. They make like a permanent lipstick that they make an incision in the skin and they insert dye. And they insert dye, and that way the woman always looks made up. Right? Now, theoretically, this could be valuable to a religious Jew because of the fact that there are serious questions about applying makeup on Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, a lipstick in particular. So therefore, there could be a great benefit to a woman will go, she'll have it taken care of, and that way she'll always look great. She'll never have to patchka with the lipstick anymore, never have to bother, it won't take time in the morning. And not just that, you go to shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you look like $1 million because of the fact that I have this permanent makeup. So now the exact, I downloaded some information on this. So it says here, this is called micropigmentation. Okay, that's the official title of permanent makeup. Is a recent development in the world of beauty aids. This process entails a needle depositing colored pigments into the skin's dermal layer. Now, this is very important. Into the skin's dermal layer, which is the layer between the permanent base layer, which is where full tattoos are done, and that's why full tattoos are permanent, and the constantly changing outer layer, the epidermis. Okay, in other words, a regular tattoo is done on a deeper level, and a regular tattoo, therefore, generally speaking, never comes out. It stays forever because it's put so deep into the skin on a level that it will never change. Now, this permanent makeup, I don't know why it is this way, but they don't go that deep. They don't go that deep. And because they don't go that deep, so therefore, this procedure will not last forever. So he says here further, this procedure, usually done on the lips and around the eyes, giving a just made-up look, eliminates the need for tedious daily makeup application, and is semi-permanent, lasting between 3 to 5 years. Okay, so this is a procedure that's being done today that it lasts 3 to 5 years. So now the question comes up, is this mutter asr? Okay, now, very often a person wouldn't think about this. You would say, well, great, you know what I mean? Maybe some people would be repulsed. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that you could clearly see how a lot of women would be interested in this. And the question comes up, and you don't realize. Oh, great, so I'll have lipstick forever. You know, so what's so bad about that? What could be the issue? So a person who's tuned in to the halacha would say, now 1 minute, this isn't so simple. This is, now it's not so simple that it's usher either, right? In other words, but what this is hitting on a lot of the issues. Because what issues are we hitting on? So first of all, the question comes up that it's not permanent. It's not permanent. If you remember when we started the shir, so Rashi on the Mishnah, when he speaks about when it speaks about what's considered a Rashi on the Pasuk and the Chumash, and it's also Rashi in the Mishnah Maseches Makis, says that a tattoo ksovas kaka that the Torah refers to is permanent. It doesn't come off ever. Okay? Now here, this is not something that doesn't come off ever, and the reason is because it's not done on the layer, it's not done deeply enough to make it that it won't come out ever. However, it will last for quite a long time. So is that a problem? That's number one.
Didn't we say it's a Isser Derabanan for the slave?
We'll soon see. 1 second. So that another question which comes up is that this is just coloring. It's not letters, and it's not an image. It's just coloring. It's whatever it is, it's red. So they'll put in a red dye, so it looks like the woman is wearing red lipstick. Okay, so it's just coloring.
Is that
a problem or not?
It's building a pretty good case for the ashes on the womb.
So you'll say like this. So you'll say, it's no different than the ashes on the wound. The ashes on the wound, which was only permitted in the Gemara because everybody understands that it was not done for the purpose of coloring. And this is different. Okay, you could say that. That's a good argument. However, in the Pisrei Tshuva in Yaredeia, incredibly brings down, absolutely mind-boggling, brings down from one of the Achronim called Mi'il Tzedakah, that he wants to say that in the case of that it's possible that when the Gemara spoke about putting the ashes on the wound, it actually formed the letter. That's what he wants to say. And therefore, it would only be true. He says, "B'mayri be'emes, be'im shatiyah tzuras makosel kainos." Some of the ones in the Gemara said that you can't put the ashes on the wound. That's only if the ashes are going to form a letter. If the ashes wouldn't form a letter, there would be no discussion. But it's because the ashes are going to form a letter. Now, if that's the case, then we have a kula, because that means that the only time there's any basis for the prohibition, even midrabbanan, is if it would be in some sort of an image, either a letter or a picture, but it's neither. So this is a very, very big discussion. And in the contemporary poskim, this is everybody has it. It's been widely, widely discussed. And all kinds of arguments are made. People say that it's when you can combine factors, because the lenient opinions say that, well, it's not so clear that it's usher if it's not an image, and also it's not permanent. So when you put everything together, it could be this at Tzad Heter. This is quoted in the name of Avad Yosef, that he said that he didn't advocate it l'chatchila, but he said that if a woman does this, she has who to rely on. However, the majority of the contemporary poskim are not in favor of it, and the reason is because, like the Minchas Chinuch said, because it's so unclear. It's how do you know? You know, okay, this is something that no one ever thought of before. But on the other hand, we don't know. It's not clear, like you say, the case of the ashes on the wound. So who says it's only if it's a letter? Maybe it's not. In other words, maybe it's also in the Rabban. It's not also in the Torah. In other words, that pretty much everybody agrees. The consensus, there are people who say it's also in the Torah. There are people who say that it's mutter. But the consensus is that it's also in the Rabban. The mainstream opinion, when you go through all the modern day opinions, it's in all the recent shuvas, Rav Vosner, Shevet Halevi, and they have Lahoris Nassan, Rav Gestetner, and Bnei Brak, all kinds of opinions that people discuss. The consensus opinion is that a person should avoid doing this because it's not clear. It's not clear that it's mutter. And therefore, you're dealing with potentially, if all things go wrong, it could be an Issa D'oraisa also. In other words, because of the fact that you could say that big deal is not an image. So what? Who says that that must be? Who says it must be an image? Maybe when you know in the times that the Torah speaks about ksiva. Who knows what's considered ksiva? You know. So some people want to make an analogy to Hilchas Shabbos. All kinds of every imaginable thing is said. But there must be a big issue. A lot of women out there want it, so they egg on the husbands to ask the shilas. So the husbands, come. It's a shalom bias issue. So the Rabbanim took very seriously these questions. But and there's a lot written on it. But the fact of the matter is that the consensus seems to be that it's not a good idea to do this. It's not a good idea to do this because nobody. We can't say with conviction that it's not usher at all. Even if you'll say it's not us in the Raisa, but it could be us in the Rabbanan, and therefore a person should avoid doing this. That is one modern-day situation which comes up. If a person has the Shaila, if we could consult with their Rav and find out, maybe there are people who are lenient, I don't know, but it's worthwhile to be aware of this. In other words, because a person might not, you say, that's not a tattoo, but and also you have the fact that it's not put. I mean, that goes together with not being permanent. It's not put on the layer that the regular tattoos. It doesn't go that deep. So is that considered Kosovas Kaka? Okay, but the it seems that the mainstream is that a person should avoid doing this. Yes?
There's also more Makos, Machlokos, Rishonim, what's deemed permanent?
What's considered permanent? Yeah, all right. So, right, it's permanent forever, right? That's all right, that's true. That comes up also, the question of what's considered permanent. Does it, when Rashi said it means forever, did he really mean that? Well, he just meant that it's going to be for a long time. So if it's 3 to 5 years, that's a very long time. That's a very long time. So, who knows? Yeah, if it was a short-term thing, maybe it would be different. But if it's going to last for a month, then maybe it would be more room to be lenient. But this is going for a long time. Okay, now another area, yeah.
A woman here in Miami died last week from a cosmetic surgery. I know it can't.
Right, that's
be
something else, though. Yeah,
I'm familiar with
that.
Yeah,
that's something else. Right. Well, the truth is that we spoke about once that to undergo cosmetic surgery in general is a very big question. Halacha, because of the fact that a person is not unnecessarily supposed to make wounds in their body, and as well, a person is also not supposed to undergo anesthesia. A lot of times, these procedures are done sometimes under general anesthesia, which is a sakanas nefashis. In other words, even though, 99% of the time nothing happens, but the fact is that it's a big sakana. It's not simple that a person is allowed to do that. So today, where, the appearances is everything, and that's a gayisha value, that's not a Jewish value, that everything depends on how you look. So, that was the difference between the Jews and the Greeks going back to Hanukkah, the emphasis on the human body, which today is so pervasive in the secular world. So therefore today people undergo all kinds of cosmetic surgery. They want to look perfect and this, that, and the other thing, but it's very questionable in halacha whether a person is allowed to do that. Very, very questionable. We spoke about this once years ago. That very, very questionable. I'm sorry, yes, Guy.
What about if somebody has got a situation where their eyebrows?
I'm going to get to that. Good, very good. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, now the heter, give me a second. The heter here would be as follows. They have sometimes where they do these cosmetic colorings for people to remove embarrassment. Like, for example, you have sometimes a woman who has absolutely no eyebrows. She has no eyebrows, and it's embarrassing not to have eyebrows. So they have a procedure that they'll put eyebrows on. But that involves this type of thing. So what do we say about that? So here the poskim say that would be okay. Why would that be okay? Because the presumption is, again, I don't think that either lasts forever. I think you probably have to get it redone every so often. So since it's not forever, so and it's not an image, so according to most people, it's not osur min haTorah, but we said before a minute ago that it would be osur min haRabbanan. However, we have a rule in halacha that an issur derabbanan can be waived for kavod habrios, that if it's going to cause embarrassment to a person, so then the rabbinic prohibitions don't apply. Okay, in situation of kavod habrios, it's going to be a big embarrassment for a person, so then kavod habrios is doche. So therefore, the ruling is that in these types of cases where it causes a person a great deal of tsar and a great deal of embarrassment, and you know they especially a woman would be very self-conscious about that type of thing. So there, it's that type of thing would be permitted, and it's also permitted a lot of times when there's a visible scar. If there's a visible ugly scar that a person wants to get rid of, and the way they'll take care of it is by injecting some sort of pigment into the skin that's going to give off the skin color, and therefore it'll now look like it's the regular skin. So there too, it would be permissible because of the fact that, again, the root of this is because it's not letters and it's not a picture. It's just a coloring. So it's a coloring and it's not permanent, so it's only an issur derabbanan. At worst, it's only an issur derabbanan. An issur derabbanan is waived for kavod habrios. Okay, so that would be permissible. Now, another situation which comes up in the halacha is where they have tattooing for radiation therapy. Okay, so I'll just read here. In many cancer centers, proper alignment of the radiation field is achieved by tattooing the outline of the area to be radiated with tiny dots. Tattooing poses a halachic problem, etc. And now the question is, can you do this or not? Can you do this? In other words, they're going to do the radiation by tattooing dots around the area where the radiation is going to take place. This also comes up in I also found it where they do reconstructive surgeries sometimes on a person. So they make an outline or some sort of image by making a tattoo. So
that's very temporary ink, though.
I don't know. Yes, you have to find out. So clearly, there is no question that if this is a life and death issue, it's pashut, you're allowed to do that. There's no question. Right, this is like all the other Isurim in the Torah, it's not Yaharik Val Yavar, right? This would be permissible in Vachai Bahem, that was in last week's parasha, right? That it would be waived in the issue of life or death. However, it's not always the case. In other words, it might not be life or death, and maybe there's another way to do it. Maybe there's another way to do it. In other words, they have here, I'm not so familiar with this, but they have the option of using markers, right? So most facilities find this less preferable because the markings tend to fade. This happens, okay? So here, again, I don't have enough knowledge to say one way or the other, but just an awareness, and should this ever, God forbid, come up, that, it would be worthwhile just keeping in mind. It could be that if there is another way to do it, so maybe it's preferable to do it the other way. However, if the other way is going to compromise the person's health, then you don't have to do it. Also, like we said at the beginning, the main isser is on the one who makes the tattoo. So it could be that in such a situation, even the worst case scenario, if the doctor or whoever is making this is a goy, so then it's all right, because the main isser in the Torah is the one who makes the tattoo, not the one who receives the tattoo. So therefore, receiving tattoo is usher also, is usher min derabbanan, but the isser min haTorah is the one who's doing the tattoo. So therefore, in a situation like that, a person could maybe see to it that you have a non-Jew who does it, and then it would also be, permissible. This is another situation which comes up. Okay, now, the other cases which are easier to deal with, where this comes up, would be the question of the old amusement park stamp, right? When you go into they stamp your hand to make sure that you don't go out, whatever. You go out, you'll come back, and not just trading the tickets, or I don't know, whatever it is. Right, you go to many places, do this, or something. What's that? Henna, right, that's right, right? And you have in a lot of situations like that. So those things are clearly mutter, there's no question. There's absolutely no question, because of the fact that it's not permanent, doesn't last at all. It doesn't last for any period of time, comes off with soap and water. Sometimes with a lot of soap and water, but the fact of the matter is that it comes off, and there's no question that a person is allowed to do. Sometimes. And it's also, you'll say, what do you mean? But Tosfos said that even if it has the appearance of a tattoo, it's no good. That's not called it has the appearance of a tattoo. And so too, the tattoos that they sell the little kids, you know, that they put on it. I don't think it's a good idea to train a child to do that, you know, because that's not something which is. You know, I remember years ago, I was after I was married, I was a Rebbe in a certain camp, in a sleepaway camp, so I was giving shurim to the staff. So they had a game, an inter-camp game. So one of my Talmidim happened to be the star of the basketball team. And they were begging me I should come watch the game. So I came, and this young man shows up with wearing a cutoff shirt. The camp didn't have uniforms. So he comes with a cutoff shirt, and I see on his arm, you know, the whole upper part of his arm, Chinese tattoos. So I called him over. I said, what in the world is this? So he said, at that time, this is about, I don't remember, 15 years ago, there was a player on the New York Knicks at that time who had, a star player who had these tattoos, and this is his idol. So for the game, he decided, we'll cover this fellow. He's going to make also these tattoos on his arm. So I told him that he has exactly 5 minutes to get it off his arm. Otherwise, he'll be sitting on the bench the whole game. Now, not because it was usher. It's not usher, because he washes off. It's not usher in Atar, it's not usher in the Rabbanan. But what kind of thing is that for a Jewish boy to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, well, it's not something the Torah is in favor of. So even if it's your... What's that?
It was idol worship.
Yeah, right. I'm saying, in that case in particular. Right, that's true. Right, he didn't know. This guy didn't know anything. He knew that there was a guy on the Knicks who had it, so that, you know, that was also idol worship. You know, he bows down to him. But the fact of the matter is, so these things, they're not usher. Now, can a person write on the hand? And sometimes the person goes shopping, one doesn't remember not to forget to get the eggs. You know, so you write down on your hand the eggs. So that's also mutter 100% because of the reasons given that there is no issue whatsoever. Okay, now, the big question that comes up a lot of times nowadays in our times, because these laws are not so well known, and because you have a lot of people who are chozer b'tshuva, and you have sometimes people who go off the derech and then come back, so it's not uncommon that people have tattoos. And the question comes up, a person who has a tattoo, does it need to be removed? Does it need to be removed? So the answer in one short word is no. It does not need to be removed. How do we know this? Because it doesn't say anywhere in the poskim, that not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Rambam, that a person who has a tattoo needs to have it removed. One could play devil's advocate and say that's because they had no ability to remove it in those days, so it wasn't even a havamina. They didn't consider the possibility, and that's why they didn't discuss it. But it doesn't say anywhere such an idea. And now it happens to be that one could say, and it's not so easy, it's painful, expensive, whatever it is. So there is no chiyuv to remove it. However, in certain situations, one could say that if I had the ability to remove it, maybe it's a good thing to do. He shouldn't walk around a whole life. You know, some want to say that it's good to have it. So that way he reminds himself that a human frailty, that a person could sometimes make a mistake, and that he always has a reminder of that, so that inspires him. Right. On the other hand, you could make the opposite argument that it's a reminder of Averis, so you should take it off. There is in the Tshuvas of Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, that somebody had a pornographic tattoo on the place on his arm where you would put tefillin. Okay, so they're real shiloh. Okay, so he asked, what's with that? So he, again, technically, there is no isser because of the fact, okay, what's done is done. It doesn't say anyway you're mechuyev to take it off. But the Diane Weiss, that as Ronald Rucha said, he said, it's not nice. So this is what you're going to put tefillin for the rest of your life. You're going to put tefillin over this picture. So therefore, he said that he told this person that he should try to get it removed. But generally speaking, there is no isser like that. There's the famous in the, Tshuvas Mimamakim, Rav Oshri, was in the Holocaust era, so people with the Holocaust tattoos, so that's surely, that everybody agrees, there's no need to remove that. It's well known that the Satmar Rebbe, the old Satmar Rebbe of Yol Teitelbaum, used to say when people would come to him for brachas, that he would say, if you want a real bracha, go to a religious person who has a tattoo on their arm and let them give you a bracha, it's worth much more than my bracha is. That's what he said. So therefore, you know, a Holocaust tattoo, nobody ever said that should be removed. And to the contrary, it's a sign of gevura and a sign of the perseverance of Klal Yisrael. Yes?
Some folks can bring down that the opposite, that to remove the tattoo, you're doing another issue because you have to put the deep...
Oh, so that's a question, right. That's a good point. In other words, some tattoo removal, there's different ways to do it. But one way that they might do it is to put dye, in other words, they'll put just the coloring that'll remove the image. So you won't have that picture anymore, you won't have those words, but now you're putting in the dye, which is not so simple that that's mutter either, like we're saying. So therefore, it's not an obligation. And finally, the widely held myth that a person with a tattoo cannot be buried in a Jewish cemetery is absolute nonsense, right? There is no place anywhere that it says such a thing. There's no reason that that should be. Why should that be? Why, there are other averis in the Torah. A person speaks Lashon Hara could be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Only a guy with a tattoo can't be. This is nonsense. There's absolutely no basis for it whatsoever. Where it came from probably is that they were trying to dissuade people from having tattoos. So therefore, people speak in exaggerated terms. Exaggerated, but nevertheless, there's no makar for such a thing. So anyway, there you have it not in a nutshell, but the various issues that have to do with tattoos, and hopefully in our time where it's so prevalent, so at least we have some insight, and sometimes, like I say, it comes up in situations a person might not realize it. So therefore, it's worthwhile being educated, so that way, should it come up, a person can ask an intelligent, educated shaila.